Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is joined this week by teacher Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace.
Sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend. It's beautiful weather out there, but of course, if you can spare us an hour of your time tonight, we would appreciate it very much. Who cares about the game anyway, really, when you get right down to it? Anyway, Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all we ask of you is to listen and maybe call in with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER1, that is the numeral one, that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We don't read them during the show, but they all get read. Feel free to contact us if you have an idea for a question or a comment or whatever. And if you'd like to hear the show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. Maybe Kira listened when she was in the sauna in Helsinki.
With Flat Stanley.
With Flat Stanley. Yeah.
Oh, your husband
know about Flat Stanley, by the way?
Oh, he was there, yeah. Okay.
He
all
supports
right.
the relationship?
No, he was taking the picture, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, well, that adds a whole nother layer onto this, so to speak.
All Flat Stanley questions tonight, I hope.
Yeah. Anyway, so again, that is kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast of the show, it should be available reasonably soon tonight after our show. Also at kalw.org. Okay, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Here's the first. Kira Pace wants to know where the six more weeks of winter is because it is way too sultry in her apartment right now. Of course, she's not in her apartment right now.
But no. Well, no, but my apartment is still sultry, whether or not I'm in it.
Okay.
You assume that's true, right?
Yeah.
When
you
sure.
go away, anything could happen.
Yeah. I suppose that's true, but I feel that the temperature and humidity has not much changed since I left. So Lori Fisher hopes that tonight's audience is listening to Minds Over Matter, watching the Super Bowl, and remembering that when they call, not to mention the commercials, the big plays, or most importantly, the score.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
I stressed that not for you since last year, like caller number two.
Set the score immediately up, and they're already plotting to do the same thing. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, doesn't think that the Patriots versus the Eagles sounds like much of a contest. How about the Patriots versus the Benedict Arnolds? That'd be a real match.
All right.
It'd not be a popular football team, I'm afraid.
No, I probably won't.
The Arnolds. Maybe just the Arnolds.
The Arnolds? Yeah. Okay. And we'll begin with Kira Pace.
You know what? I'm gonna start with this one. So in 1944, while traveling from New York to L.A. by train, director Billy Wilder purchased a copy of what novel from a Chicago train station? It would later become the basis for an Oscar-winning movie.
Double Indemnity?
Nope.
The Lost Weekend.
It is The Lost Weekend.
Yeah. And, by, what's the fellow's name? Jackson. Somebody named Jackson.
I don't know.
Yeah. Thomas Jackson. I don't know. Yeah, but anyway.
Would you like the follow-up question?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm glad you got it right, because otherwise the follow-up question would have been...
There you go.
would give it away. So Billy Wilder once said, if I had not established Lauren Bacall as the look, then The Lost Weekend certainly should bring Mr. Milland renown as what? Then I'll give you a clue that it's a body part.
So what's his most distinguished body part?
Well, if to have and have not established Lauren Bacall as the look, then The Lost Weekend certainly should bring Mr. Milland renown as what?
Oh, so it's a body part. I almost said the drunk, which is what he plays.
So the two body parts I think of Ray Milland as having most prominently are the jaw and the nose. Is it either of those?
No, neither of those.
Don't know. Okay. Then out.
What?
The throat? The throat?
No, it is, that's at least kind of along the lines, I think.
The neck.
No. No, that's farther away now.
All right. Just to remind you, we have some lines open now. If you'd like to give us a call, area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, I can't resist having some Super Bowl-ish questions. They're not really sports-related.
All right.
Jacksonville was almost in the Super Bowl, and had they made it, they would have been one of the smaller cities to have a team in the Super Bowl. So what are the five smallest cities that have been represented by teams named in that city to the Super Bowl?
Oh, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's number one. Very good.
That's definitely the smallest city.
105,000 people.
Yeah.
Give each one more.
Well, is Denver that big? Denver Broncos?
Denver is too big.
Too big, okay.
Yeah. It's maybe 15th on the list.
Oh, wait, if Jacksonville is small, maybe Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
They're a little too big,
too
but
big.
They're close.
All right.
So,
and they both have been in the Super Bowl. That's part of the other thing.
So Green Bay is the smallest.
It is.
And how big is the second smallest?
250,000. Green Bay was just over 100,000.
Huh. 250,000 at the time or today?
Today. This morning when I looked.
Well, probably not the Vikings. I think they're a pretty reasonably big city, so not them. Indianapolis, Colts, I think, have been in the Super Bowl, but I don't. Buffalo?
They're number two.
Yay.
Very nice.
Very
good. Very good.
So we're looking for 3, 4, and 5.
How about St. Louis?
St. Louis is number 5.
Right.
Nice.
They used to be a lot bigger.
Yeah, 311,000. Yeah, okay. I thought it was bigger.
All right.
So two more, we'll leave them out. Okay. So I'm looking for, we have three of the five smallest cities that have had a team in the Super Bowl, Green Bay, Buffalo, and St. Louis, our panel got. We're looking for the other two. Denver and Indianapolis are too big.
All right. And if you'd like to give us a call, the numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. All right, let me see. Give you a couple questions. The Oscars are coming up at the end of the month, I think. And who was the first female? It's a very well-known name. Who was the first female to receive an honorary Oscar?
My impulse is Shirley Temple.
That's correct.
Yeah, nice.
Very good. 1934. All right.
She was never going to win one another way, I don't think. No offense to the Shirley Temple fans.
Okay. And what are the only two pop music groups to have three members from each group reach number one on the Billboard charts with solo albums?
Well, the Beatles.
That's the obvious
one.
Yeah, George and... Oh, did Ringo have one? Was it all four Beatles?
I don't know about it.
Because Ringo had a very popular album.
He did.
I know Paul and John and George.
Right, George definitely... Oh, he said... But you said Billboard number one song or album?
Number one album.
Album.
So
okay.
We're looking for three, two more groups.
Right.
That had three out of... And it's only three and only three members? Or three or more?
Well, the group could have more than three members, but at least three members of the group had number one solo albums.
I might guess the Eagles. Would I be right if I did?
You'd be wrong.
Okay, because they hit for sure have two, Glenn Frey and Don Henley, and right. I thought Joe Walsh had one too.
So what are the only two pop music groups to have three members reach number one on the Billboard charts with solo albums? The Beatles is obviously one, and Kira got that. What is the other group? Okay, I'll give you one more question. If you look down the list of the films that have been nominated for Best Picture.
This year?
In the whole the whole history of Best Picture. There are only four sets of films with the same story and title that were nominated for Best Picture. Okay, so they're obviously a remake. So there are four sets of films with the same story and the same title that have been nominated for Best Picture. So they're all remakes, but
And they're all nominated twice.
They're all nominated twice and obviously in different years.
Did any of them win?
One of them won for Best Picture. Mm. All the others were nominees.
Okay. So The Godfather's out because it's a different title and a different story, right?
That is correct. Okay. It has to be the same title and the same story.
Did maybe two sets of two King Kongs win?
Nope. So four sets of films with the same story and title were nominated for Best Picture. What are they? Remember, it has to have the same story and the same title.
I have a guess. Our studio audience had a guess on the musicians who had number one albums from the groups.
Yeah.
How about Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young?
No.
Really?
Really.
Mm. Figured three of those might have.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Four sets of movies. We ought to get that. But
and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
On the cities, the NFL cities, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
Those are the remaining two. Two bells. Cincinnati's
okay.
Third.
On the NFL cities, though, one of the panelists said Tampa Bay. There is no city called Tampa Bay. Are we talking about St. Petersburg? Are we talking about Tampa? And one of the panelists mentioned to the Vikings. Are we talking about Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Are we talking about St. Paul? And what about East Rutherford? We're on the 40th anniversary of the Giants leaving New York and being the Jersey Giants. 40 years as the Jersey Giants. Everyone's afraid to say it, Jersey Giants.
I'm glad you had the courage to say Jersey Giants. Thank
I'm
you.
Not afraid. I'm out there, man.
You are. Very nice.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? You there? No? Okay. Kira, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. Although most historically black colleges were founded in the South and after the Civil War, the first two were founded before the Civil War in what state?
I assume it's not in the South?
I'll go ahead and let you assume that.
Okay. Yeah. would I be right?
Yeah, you would be right.
Okay. Is one of the states Ohio, by any chance?
They're both the same state, so it would just be one state that you're guessing, but it's not Ohio.
It is not Ohio. And you said it is outside of the South.
It is outside of the South. Mm-hmm.
Historically black colleges. And these colleges still exist?
Yeah, I believe they do. I'd actually never heard of the first one from 1837. So I guess I can't say for sure, but I think they do.
Okay. Okay, would you repeat that question?
Sure. Although most historically black colleges were founded in the South and after the Civil War, the first two were founded before the Civil War in what state? They were founded in 1837 was the first, and 1854 was the second.
I don't know.
How about Michigan?
No.
All right.
Geographically, okay. Ohio was closer.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. When you say the South, you're counting the border states. You're calling it like the Kentucky, Tennessee. Is that considered the South to you?
Anything below the Mason-Dixon line is the South.
Is the South. So this one's above the Mason-Dixon line.
Quite
a bit. All right.
Okay.
How about Pennsylvania then?
It is Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yes, so Cheney University was 1837 and Lincoln University in 1854.
Wow. I don't know either one of those. That's a good question.
All right, give us another question.
Sure. There have been three first ladies of the United States who have died in office. Who are they, and who took over their roles as first lady?
Ooh. Well, Woodrow Wilson's first wife. Is it Edith?
It is Edith.
Okay.
I was going to go Jeopardy rules and allow you just Mrs. Wilson, but yes. Or no, no, I'm sorry. No, it's not Edith. Sorry, it's a different E.
That's the second wife. I can't think of her first name. Anyway, it was his first wife.
It was his first wife.
Who died in 1916 or something like that.
14,
excuse me.
Okay.
And
do you happen to know who took over for her, de facto first lady?
Well, he remarried when he was in office.
He did, but for a couple of years in there, I think it was 2 years that somebody else.
Well,
was
he had a daughter who married Senator McAdoo, but I can't think of her first name.
I'll allow it. Which is daughter? Yes, his daughter, okay. Margaret Woodrow Wilson.
All right, and
were the other two before that?
The other two were before that.
Buchanan, of course, was not married, and his niece, Harriet Lane, acted as the first lady.
Right, but he didn't have a first lady who died in office.
That's true. That's true.
And a couple of...
Data was just showing off.
Right.
Yeah.
John Tyler.
This is true. John Tyler's wife.
Mrs. Tyler?
Mrs. Tyler.
Yeah.
Good old Mrs.
I do not know who acted. No. Okay. I can't think of who. Well, I have to work on that. Andrew Jackson?
No.
Okay. All right. I have to think.
So it's somewhere between Mrs. Tyler and Mrs. Wilson. Letitia Tyler, by the way, and Ellen Wilson.
All right. I need to start with an E. All right. Just read the question once more, if you would.
Sure. There have been three first ladies of the United States who have died in office. Who are they, and who took over their roles as first lady? And Dana got Letitia Tyler, but we're still trying to figure out who took over for her. And he also got Ellen Wilson, whose role was filled by Margaret Woodrow Wilson, their daughter.
Well, Tyler married again, too. Mm-hmm. And... And was it a woman named Julia Gardner by any chance?
Could not tell you. Lists are not my thing.
I know that acted at his first, as his first lady.
Oh no, nope.
Okay.
This one was a little interesting. I read up on the person who acted as his first lady.
Was it a member? Was it the wife of a cabinet member?
Nope.
Okay. All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
How you doing?
Good.
On the subject of artists who maybe in their bands also top the charts, Billboard charts.
Right.
It's a little backwards, but I'm thinking the Traveling Wilburys most qualified. Maybe more than three.
Oh, yeah. No, that's totally fair.
It's fair and it's not fair. In other words,
they were a super.
Okay.
They were a super group.
Genesis. How about Genesis?
Genesis? No, not Genesis.
Okay. All right. So I don't. Why is it that the Traveling Wilburys don't qualify?
Well, they were put together by people who were stars already and already had.
Okay.
It wasn't. It wasn't like the band and then that was put together from people starting out and then.
Okay.
And I think that's what they're
talking
about.
There's plenty of duos out here that qualify.
That's true. There are.
Okay. I'll keep thinking.
All right. Thank you.
Me too. That's a good one. And the movie question, we don't have any of those.
No.
Same title, same story, best picture.
Right. Yeah. Same title, same story, best picture. Each time it was made, it was nominated for best picture.
Right.
So, and Lori, it is your turn.
All right. Well, continuing on the quasi-Eagle Patriot theme, I have the casts of, this question was inspired by Sue Schweik, who thought it might be a good idea. So if it bombs, we know where to look.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you cast members, and the titles of these movies has the word Patriot or Eagle in it, possibly plural.
All right.
First one is Samuel L. Jackson, Ann Archer, and Harrison Ford. Second one is Robert Duvall, Clint Eastwood. Third one is Deborah Winger and Robert Redford. Number four is Heath Ledger, Jolie Richardson, and Chris Cooper. Number five is, again, Robert Duvall, Donald Sutherland, and Michael Caine. I know it's a lot of names. I'll read them one more time, give you one and a half each. Samuel L. Jackson, Ann Archer, and Harrison Ford. Second one is Robert Duvall and Clint Eastwood. Third one is Deborah Winger and Robert Redford. Number four is Heath Ledger, Jolie Richardson, and Chris Cooper. And number five is Robert Duvall, Donald Sutherland, and Michael Caine. Kara, looks like you have one.
I've got two. I'll start off with...
take the harder one.
Okay, Robert Redford and Deborah Winger are in Legal Eagles.
They are.
Yeah.
1986.
Quite a movie. Daryl Hannah.
Very nice.
That was a role.
Yeah. I think you're the last person to actually see that movie. Give her, she needs a bell on that one. That was hard earned.
And is one of them Patriots Day?
No. None of them are Patriots Day.
Okay. The Samuel Jackson one, could you give me that?
Samuel L. Jackson, Ann Archer, and Harrison Ford.
That's what's one of Tom Clancy's things, isn't it?
It is.
I've never read. But let's see.
Is that the other one you know?
It is.
Yeah, go ahead. What is it?
It's Patriot Games.
It is.
Patriot Games.
1992.
Well, Patriot.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm sorry. I didn't write fast enough. The three that are left
over. Another
bell
for Kara. Now it, of course.
Bell for Kara.
So we're looking for Robert Duvall and Clint Eastwood. We're looking for Heath Ledger, Jolie Richardson, and Chris Cooper. And we're looking for Robert Duvall, again, Donald Sutherland, and Michael Caine.
Robert Duvall. Donald Sutherland.
And Kara can't answer for at least 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's a kind of a movie that I sort of like.
that's a rarity.
That's that World War II film.
Stars B. Arthur and Ruby Keeler.
No. The last one with Michael Caine, that's The Eagle Has Landed.
It is. 1968.
Not a bad film.
Yeah. Very nice. So Duvall, yeah. Sutherland, and Michael Caine were in
it. Robert Duvall is quite good in it.
Yeah. Give yourself a bell on that one. So we have two more left. We'll leave them out there unless you come up to the
answer. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Terry in San Francisco.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, I'm calling with, I hope, some answers about the Oscar movies.
Okay.
Are they Shakespeare's? Like
there is
Hamlet?
There is one. No, there's no Hamlet, but there is a Shakespeare in there.
And Henry the Fifth?
It is not.
Oh. Then I'm up a creek.
Oh. Keep trying Shakespeare.
Give me
another Shakespeare.
I can't imagine what else might have been nominated.
It's a pretty famous Shakespeare.
I guess I'll wait to listen.
Okay.
Our audience is suggesting Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet.
Very nice.
That's from 1936 and 1968.
So the
Leslie Howard, Norma Shearer in 1936, and then
DiCaprio
not DiCaprio. It's the one from the 60s. Franco Zeffirelli one from 1968.
Okay. Yeah, the DiCaprio one is Romeo plus Juliet.
Oh, it is?
So
slightly thank
different.
You, caller. Appreciate it.
Good one. Thank you, audience.
Okay. In my occasional attempts to rehabilitate Sinclair Lewis, whose I read in high school, I'm going to give you a Sinclair Lewis question. And so what I'm going to do is name six actors who played the title role in a Sinclair Lewis, in the film adaptation of a Sinclair Lewis novel.
Someone played Main Street.
And when I say Edward the title Arnold. Role, they are the title of the book is the title, of the character.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So six actors who played the title character in a Sinclair Lewis film adaptation of a Sinclair Lewis novel, I should say. All right, here we go. Number one, Guy Kibbe. Number two, my favorite actor, Walter Huston. Number three, Ronald Colman. Number four, Burt Lancaster. Number five, Spencer Tracy. And number six, Irene Dunne. So all these actors played the title role in a Sinclair Lewis, in a movie made from a Sinclair Lewis novel. Number one, Guy Kibbe. Number two, Walter Huston. Number three, Ronald Colman. Number four, Burt Lancaster. Number five, Spencer Tracy. Number six, Irene Dunne.
Nothing? For Kara?
You're pinch hitting for me on this one.
Uh-huh.
I know one for sure. And Burt Lancaster played Elmer Gantry.
Elmer Gantry.
And I think Walter Huston played Dodsworth.
That is correct. Okay, you stop there.
Okay. That's yes. Good because that's all I knew.
Oh, okay. All you knew?
I have a bad guess, but I'll wait.
Yes, Walter Huston played Dodsworth, 1936. The book came out in 1929, I think. And Burt Lancaster played Elmer Gantry, of course. He won the Oscar for that. As a matter of fact, I found out that the first edition of Elmer Gantry, they misspelled it as Elmer Cantry.
Really?
On the title cover. So.
And Guy Kibbe played Main Street, right?
No, not that. And, okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hiya. I have a question about character roles that Eddie, not roles, but on Saturday Night Live, Eddie Murphy had three very famous skits which he did. Can you name the characters that he played?
Mr. Robinson of Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood?
Mr. Rogers, that's correct.
Well,
Robinson, yeah.
Robinson,
and then
Gumby. Mr. Robinson, right.
He played he played Gumby.
Gumby, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Buckwheat.
Buckwheat, he did play Buckwheat, yeah.
He got shot.
Were those the three you meant? Because he played many others.
I have one more here that I remember. Anybody else?
Hmm. Well, sometimes he was... Didn't he play Sammy Davis Jr. sometimes opposite Joe Piscopo?
I think Billy Crystal played Sammy Davis Jr. Believe it or not, in those skits.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. Gumby, the neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't remember him impersonating anybody but Mr. Rogers, Mr. Robinson, which is really good.
Yeah.
He might have done. Did he do Little Richard? Not Little Richard, but.
You're getting close. It looked like Little Richard.
It did.
Did he go in a hot tub? Kind of vaguely remember.
No,
going
but he looked
tub.
Like Little Richard, but it was.
Did you? Was it Prince supposed to be? No, not Prince. It was.
You know the character, but anyway, he was a pimp. Okay.
Does that help? And he had a name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
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 It was Velvet Jones.
Oh,
Velvet Jones.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
I just remembered this. Now I want to know. At least four songs that Ringo sang on Beatles albums, not including any of his own single albums, but I know four songs that he sang.
Well, with a little help from my friends, this is the easiest one.
Octopus's Garden.
Yes, yes.
Yellow Submarine.
Yeah.
Why Don't We Do It in the Road.
Did he sing that one?
Ringo sang that? I don't know about that.
No, you think not?
I don't
right.
think so. But
no, I don't think so.
They're Gonna Put Me in the Movies is...
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. They're going to make a big star out of me.
Yeah, well, you got four.
And there's more.
One per album,
oh,
right?
He sang Boys.
He did sing Boys. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that had a significant role in my life, which I'll tell the panel afterwards. Yeah. My band played that in high school.
What was that one?
The song Boys.
Oh. Yeah,
that Ringo sang lead on.
Boys, it played a significant role in my life.
Yeah. in a very similar way.
I think you got most of them. I have one more here. Actually, two more. I know two more. Yeah.
Well, go ahead and fill us in with what you
and
know.
You know Honey Don't, do you remember that one?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think he sang Love Me Do.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
No, I think that was
Paul.
That was
John. Paul. I think they were harmonizing.
Yeah.
Well, we got four of them. That
we
was
did
my
well.
Question.
All right.
I had one more. If you give me a second here. It's about Jackie Gleason. I want to know the names of the characters, the four characters on The Honeymooners.
Ralph Crampton.
Well, yeah.
And Norton.
Ed Norton, Trixie. Was Ed's wife, and then Alice.
Right, that was it. That's my question.
The Cramptons and the Nortons.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
That second band, you said there were only two. One was the Beatles, and there's only one more left.
Yeah.
Is it a boy band by any chance?
Yes. They're a boy band in that they're all male. Let's put it that way.
But not a boy band like NSYNC or Boyz II Men. That's what you meant.
Yeah, I meant like New Kids on the Block or something along those lines.
You're close.
I'm close.
Oh.
Yeah. Right.
Three people.
I mean, it could be NSYNC, but I can't think if there is a third.
Three number one? That's big.
Did you say number one? You did say number one.
I did say
number one. Album.
Albums.
Okay.
Right. So.
Are these are the groups more from the 60s and 70s or more from the more recent times?
It's more recent than the 60s.
Actually, Wu-Tang Clan.
No.
No?
No.
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 I'm not buying that.
Who would the three be?
Well, let's see. Method Man definitely had some high-ranking albums. I would guess that Raekwon and Genius Jizza, whatever.
I'm not buying any of this. She's now making
Dirty
up
Bastard.
Names.
Yeah. No. I think there are actually several, but I guess maybe they're not number one. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe.
This is from the New York Times, so their fact-checking is pretty good, so I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. No Wu-Tang Clan.
No Wu-Tang Clan, no. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, Lori Fisher, of course, professor emeritus, Dabo Valley College. He's not really emeritus anymore because he's teaching again.
I know. I might have given up my emeritus status temporarily.
They keep pulling you back in.
They do.
Just like the Godfather.
Yeah. Take the cannoli.
And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. The two numbers to join us here are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And since we're about halfway through, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, what do you have?
All right. So there have been three first ladies of the United States who have died in office. Who are they and who took over their roles as first lady? We already have Letitia Tyler, though we're waiting to hear who took over her role. And we already have Ellen Wilson and Margaret Woodrow Wilson, her daughter, who was the de facto first lady.
There's nobody past Wilson.
No, there's somebody between Tyler and Wilson. And what else do I have? That, I think, is it. Right? Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. And Lori.
I'm sorry. I do have one more. Billy Wilder once said, if to have and have not established Lauren Bacall's The Look, then The Lost Weekend certainly should bring Mr. Milland renown as what body part?
The Adam's apple.
No.
All right.
Throat is still closest.
Is it a visible body part?
It is not.
Oh. Okay. And it's near the throat. So he would be the larynx.
I didn't necessarily say it was near the throat. Oh. It's just that the throat was sort of along the right lines.
In the right. Okay. But it would not be, we would not see this body part on film unless he, even if he took his clothing off. Huh?
Yeah. I think the MPAA would probably have some problems with us seeing.
All right.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Lynn.
I was looking for movie titles that had the word eagle or eagles or patriot or patriots in them. We have two left. Robert Duvall and Clint Eastwood were in one of them, and Heath Ledger, Jolie Richardson, and Chris Cooper were in the other. And we got the five smallest Super Bowl cities.
Oh, Heath Ledger, Jolie Richardson, and Chris Cooper. That's the Patriot.
It is.
I left off Mel Gibson.
I left off Mel Gibson.
Right.
Year 2000.
Duvall and Eastwood is an Iron Eagle, is it?
It's not.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so, but.
Duvall and Eastwood. All right. And let's see. Only four sets of films with the same story and title were nominated for Best Picture. Only four sets of films with the same story and the same title were nominated for Best Picture. One of them had gotten, so I'll give you that as an example. That would be Romeo and Juliet, nominated in 1936 and 1968. What are the other three? And I gave you several actors who played the title role in a Sinclair Lewis, the film version of a Sinclair Lewis book. So far, the ones we have are Walter Houston from Dodsworth, Burt Lancaster, and Elmer Gantry. We still have Guy Kibbe, Ronald Coleman, Spencer Tracy, and Irene Dunne. And let's see. There are only two pop music groups to have three members from each group reach number one on the Billboard charts with solo albums. Okay, so far, so the Beatles is one. What is the other? What is the other group? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, Z, how are you?
Good.
Very good. So the word Bible, paper and book come from ancient Egyptian word of what?
Bible, paper, and boat?
And book, book.
Oh, book, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. It's derived from that.
From the same word.
From the same word. For something in Egyptian, right?
For paper.
Not...
Pretty obvious.
Not papyrus.
Papyrus.
Of course.
All right.
Okay, all right, that's a really simple one. Okay, the word of Egypt in Hebrew means bondage. What word is it?
We're the worst, Lori.
No, you're
it's not. It's not.
You're the best show in town. So.
I've repressed
okay.
it.
Leave that yeah. to the audience.
It's not Canaan, right?
It's not Kemet.
Leave that to the audience. I have a question for your audience and you. Okay. Right. All of us know Sharon Tate. She was brutally murdered by that awful, thank God he's dead, Manson, whatever his name is. She actually played, she appeared 15 times in one of the 60s sitcom. She appeared as a bank teller with the name Janet Trigo. She appeared there as a brunette, not a blonde. You know what show it was? In the 60s. Sitcom. Very famous sitcom show.
I didn't know this.
Yes.
She appeared 15 times. Oh, what about the Beverly Hillbillies?
You are right. You are
wow.
right.
Very
you
nice.
Are right. And, you know, because we have so much runs.
The bank.
What
yeah.
a beautiful time. What a beautiful show. What a beautiful lady. Thank you very much. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Said a beautiful show and a beautiful... I thought he was talking about you or something, or, you know.
I think he was.
He was talking about the Beverly Hillbillies.
It could
Sharon
be both.
I
Beverly Hillbillies and Minds Over Matter.
Okay. All right. I forgot whose turn. I think it's
I
your
think
turn,
it might
Lori.
Be mine.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so I'm off the Eagles and Patriots questions. I'm on a Grammy-related question. So the Grammys have a Hall of Fame, and individual songs that have what they call lasting qualitative or historical significance are in the Grammy Hall of Fame, and is one of my favorite things to do. Four of them begin with the letter U. So what are the four songs in the Grammy Hall of Fame that begin with the letter U, and they're all pretty well-known songs?
Okay.
Take your time.
I'll have to.
What about Under the Cherry Moon?
Not in there.
That's a good guess.
That is a good guess.
That's a good guess.
Huh. I think they're all better known than that.
Under the Bridge?
I don't know yeah. Under the Bridge.
Under the Boardwalk.
That is what. Under the Boardwalk.
I couldn't have done it without Curious saying
yeah.
Under.
By, anyone remember who sang it?
Down by the Sea.
That's not the Drifters.
It is the Drifters. Okay. 1964.
All right.
Very good. So we're looking for three more Grammy Hall of Fame songs that begin with the letter U. We have Under the Boardwalk.
Up, Up and Away.
That is one.
Oh,
you're kidding.
Good.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I was
the
stumped.
Fifth Dimension,
The
right?
Fifth Dimension. Yeah. 67. Oh, very good.
Yeah.
All right. So Cure's eliminated now. You can have the other two. Both well known. One of them, believe it or
I
not.
I got Under the Boardwalk.
Yeah, you got Under the Boardwalk.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, one of them has two versions in.
I'm uneliminated.
You're back
Starts
in.
Starts with the U. Right.
Back
there you
in.
Go.
Yes.
Okay. Leave that up.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, guys. It's Mark in the Mission.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, I'm calling with a question.
Yes.
And you might want to jot this one down. Please put these five songs in order by date of publication.
All right.
Row, Row, Row Your Boat. For He's a Jolly Good Fellow. Hail, Hail, The Gang's All Here. Yankee Doodle, and Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Mm-hmm. Take Me Out to the Ball Game is turn of the century, but
that's
true. Row, Row, Row Your Boat. For He's a Jolly Good
Yankee
Fellow.
Doodle Dandy is George M. Cohan, and it's around...
No, he said Yankee Doodle. He didn't say...
Oh. Yankee Doodle? Went to town?
I thought it was the same thing. I don't
no,
know.
Yankee,
no, two different, two de-
I'm
definitely
a
two different
Doodle
songs.
Dandy, Yankee Doodle Dandy, Do or Die is the later one.
Right. Which one do you mean?
I mean the one called Yankee Doodle that was written.
Went to town riding on a pony, that one?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll make it easier for you.
So.
Is it earlier than Take Me Out to the Ball Game? Because if it is, then you mean Yankee Doodle.
Okay. So that's that's revolutionary.
Much earlier.
Okay, yes. That's Revolutionary War time.
Well, Row, Row, Row Your Boat is, I mean, it's the tune has been around longer than the words "row, row, row your boat" has been around. So I'm not sure where to place that.
That's an English rounding right. song. I think that's what they're like.
Right. So I would put that first.
I might. He's a Jolly Good Fellow is a British drinking song.
It is. I think probably 1800s, maybe early 1900s.
So row, row, row first.
Yes.
Hail, hail.
You know the thing about some of these is that there are, you know, debates. Okay, was it a nursery rhyme way before that? And I kind of went for, you know, this is when it was published as a song, definitely was what it is.
Okay, I'm going to just go ahead and make a guess, and then you guys can work off my wrong answers. I'm going to guess Row, Row, Row Your Boat, followed by Yankee Doodle, followed by Take Me Out to the Ball Game, followed by For He's a Jolly Good Fellow, followed by Hail, Hail.
That's pretty good. Hail, Hail is the most recent. That's 1917. What did you say before Hail, Hail?
For He's a Jolly Good Fellow?
No, that's very old.
Okay.
Very old, yes.
Is Row, Row, Row Your Boat first?
No, okay. Not according to my research. No.
Okay, well, then I guess that means For He's a Jolly Good Fellow is first.
Yeah, that's
okay.
1709, allegedly.
Okay, then followed by Yankee Doodle.
Yes.
Okay.
No later than 1770 for that.
Then Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Right.
1881.
Followed by Take Me Out to the Ball Game, followed by Hail, Hail.
That's right. That's right.
Nice.
Good job.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And, okay, I'm going to give you a lit question here. I'm going to give you five famous 20th century novels, and I want you to put them in order from the oldest to the newest, okay?
How many of these novels are English round songs?
None of them.
Okay.
And how many written by Sinclair Lewis?
None of them.
Okay. We're good.
I already did my Sinclair Lewis question. Again, these are five famous 20th century novels. I'd please put them in order from the oldest to the newest. Here we go. Number one, Under the Volcano. Number two, Intruder in the Dust, Faulkner. First one is Lowry. Number three, The Stranger, Camus. Number four, Brideshead Revisited, Waugh. And 1984, Orwell.
I think Brideshead is the most recent. 1984 would be before that, and then The Stranger before that, or is The Stranger after 1984?
Stranger's after 1984.
Okay, I think
1984 is written in 1948.
Right, and Brideshead Revisited, although it's early Waugh, I think it's still later than 48.
I don't know.
So you have to put these in the don't give me one at a time. Give me a five.
So Kira, why don't you do it now?
Oh, do
we'll
this again.
So I'll just give you the list once more.
Okay.
Number one, Under the Volcano, Malcolm Lowry. Number two, Intruder in the Dust, Faulkner. Number three, The Stranger, Camus. Number four, Brideshead Revisited, Yvonne Waugh. And number five, 1984, Orwell.
Okay. I'm going to do that as five. That is.
I have The Stranger being the most recent to you.
And forth on The Stranger and Brideshead.
Okay.
But yeah, you know what? Yeah, I like the Theater of the Absurd stuff thing. I mean, it's not theater, sorry. But yeah, I like that being after Brideshead because it is early Waugh. So I tell you what, I'll guess it, and then if I'm wrong, you can switch it around.
Well,
I have no idea what Under the Volcano is, I'm afraid.
It's Malcolm Lowry's book.
Thank you.
It's about drinking.
All right.
That's what I remember.
I'm going to say Intruder in the Heart followed by Under the Volcano because I have no idea what it
Intruder
is.
Intruder in the Dust.
Or in Dust, sorry. My writing is terrible. Followed by 1984, followed by Brideshead Revisited, followed by The Stranger?
No.
Okay.
How many write?
Not much.
Well, then.
All right. Can I go backwards? Would you allow me to have the most recent first?
I prefer you do for oldest to newest.
Okay. I'm going to go with Under the Volcano, Brideshead Revisited, Intruder in the Dust, 1984, and The Stranger.
No, I think you're completely wrong, actually.
Like zero?
Zero. Yeah.
All right. Well, that should help the audience out a lot.
So I had 2, 1, 5, 4, 3. Did I have any of them right in the right place?
Give me your list once more.
Mine was started with Intruder in the Dust, followed by Under the Volcano, followed by 1984, followed by Brideshead, followed by The Stranger.
you're completely wrong, too.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
There's not a huge time span in these five novels, right?
About...
Like, what's the oldest?
About 9 years between
total.
From the
Okay,
from
so
the
they're
oldest
really
to
close.
The newest.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
hardly anything. Yeah. I was going to say, which is the oldest? Well, what's the year of the oldest?
They're all written in the 1940s.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So...
All right.
All right. Keep it in mind.
Yeah.
And
we had to be close. They're all within 9 years of each
other.
Well,
we both okay. So we both put The Stranger last. So, listening audience, The Stranger is not last.
The Stranger is not.
Oh,
last.
That would make 1984 maybe last.
Well, they're
since
on
you
the
40s, that
and that's 48.
True.
Yeah, but not necessarily. We're getting a blank stare from
right.
Them.
And they're no. They're all different years, so yeah. There's no. Okay. There's no repeating.
Well, I
anything.
Hope so. Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Vanessa from Oakland.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, Ray Milland in Lost Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the voice?
No.
Oh, okay.
Good guess.
It is a good guess, but
I also thought of the face, but you said you couldn't see it.
No, you can't see it.
Skull?
No, it's. I will add that it's somewhat jokey. It's a jokey quote, and it has to do with the content of the movie or the. The themes in the movie, the character he plays in the movie.
The lip.
No.
Please, Don Burnham, who's an alcoholic,
yeah.
an alcoholic
yeah.
writer,
mm-hmm.
kind of a wannabe writer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it's kind of a jokey quip.
It is.
Something from the movie.
It is a straight-up quip.
Yeah.
Does it play off of the look from Lauren Bacall?
No, it doesn't. It more plays off the fact that he is a drunk in the movie, if that...
The slur?
No.
It's not
bad. I give up. Right. How about the movies that were remade and
right.
nominated?
Yes.
Ben-Hur?
No. The first Ben-Hur yes. came out before the Oscars started.
Ah.
So.
I'm showing my age. How about A Star is Born?
If you had asked me this question before I did the research on it, I would have agreed with you. But the first Star is Born, 1937 one, was nominated for Best Picture, but not the one with Judy Garland.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're remaking
well,
it now.
That was a mistake.
Did you know that? They're remaking another
That's all
version.
I got. Oh, thanks, you guys.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Are any of the movies in the Best Movies silent?
No. No. One of them is from a very famous novel, and one of them is named after a historical figure, and one of them is named after a historical incident.
Historical figure.
Right.
Are there two Titanics?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
I think there's just one. Our audience is guessing Little Women.
No.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. none of those, I don't think, were nominated.
First one was, not the second one.
Historical figure, a
yes.
famous novel.
Well, you got the Shakespeare play,
right.
that there's a historical figure of quite an extremely famous novel and a historical incident.
That's a good question.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. How about Ray Milland? How about the Isle of Langerhans?
You no. are closest of all, but no.
Really?
It's the liver?
So close, but no.
The pancreas?
No, liver's still closer.
So, but we're in the right part of the body.
Yes.
Huh? Okay, so we've moved south.
Yeah, you're in the gut, so that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Mm,
and it's not gross. The answer isn't a gross... thing, is it?
Not the stomach or something.
No, not the stomach.
Okay.
The lower intestine.
No.
The colon.
No.
Oh, well.
Right, oh, you're so
on.
Close. How no, I want you to guess one more, because you're so there. You're
the
so there.
The duodenum.
The liver. Oh, my gosh. The gallbladder.
No.
The ileum.
No.
Duodenum.
The kidney.
Yes, the kidney.
The kidney.
Yes.
Good job.
They're kidneying me. That's incredible. Sets of films with the same story and title. How about Hamlet?
Not Hamlet.
No. True Grit.
Not True Grit. That's a good.
That's
a good
really
guess.
Good.
That is a good guess.
the pop music group with the three members. I think the other one is One Direction.
That's correct. One Direction.
Yeah. Who are the three? Who are the three?
Oh.
Harry Styles, as I can think of, and that Zayn.
Zayn Malik.
You're right.
And
he's the number one guy.
I wasn't aware there was a...
Robert Plant. I don't know.
Yeah.
He sat in one night with Vince.
Yeah, I'll take a guess on the 20th century novels.
Okay.
A total guess, but why not? How about Under the Volcano, Intruder in the Dust, The Stranger, Brideshead, and 1984?
Well, that was exactly the way I read the question.
Exactly.
So ooh. In case you thought it was a trick question.
Yes.
You would have been exactly right, but no.
But it's not. You didn't.
He was just repeating the books.
Oh, but how many did he get right?
Yeah.
He didn't get any of them right.
Still
so he equaled.
Right.
He equaled us.
All right.
It's good to see the audience.
Excellent. Well, I'm in good company.
You are
right.
Fantastic. Let's see. I've got a couple of questions. Like, let's see. Who dubbed Bob Dylan's singing voice in the "I'm Not There" in the movie?
Who dubbed Dylan's voice?
His singing voice.
Well, Kate Blanchett sang in it, but you don't mean her, do you?
No, she didn't do the singing. No.
So somebody sang for Dylan?
Was it Tom Petty?
Huh. No, it was not Tom Petty. That's a good guess, though.
Could it have been Tom Petty?
Harry Styles? Making another comeback?
Nobody from One Direction, I'll give you that.
How come his voice was dubbed? Why didn't he sing his own stuff?
I was not involved in the production of the film, so I couldn't tell you.
No. I thought you had inside information. Is it somebody who's like known for doing Dylan impersonations, like you know Jimmy Fallon or somebody?
No, not that I know of, and it's fairly obscure. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I don't know, obscure, but he's not that obscure.
Is it a musician, a professional musician?
Is it a professional musician? Yes.
All right. Is he
known as an indie musician?
Mm-hmm. Jeff Mangum.
Nope.
We give up.
Or his, you could name his band, probably the biggest indie band of the 90s.
Oh, indie band? I don't know. Trent Reznor.
Stephen Malkmus.
Okay.
What's his band?
Pavement.
Yeah.
Don't know the Pavement.
Oh, yeah, they're a great band.
All right. I'll get to know them.
Formed when they were all working as security guards at the Whitney Museum.
Wow.
I think like their most famous song, like the most radio play song they got was Haircut, right?
Yeah, I think so. Don't cut your hair.
Cut your hair, thank you, yes.
Tell Pavement to hit the brakes.
Yeah, and recorded in Stockton, so good to know. And the other question I've got, what's the, in what city was the University of Nevada first established?
Is this a trick question, as in, was it outside of Nevada?
No, it was in Nevada.
Okay.
Well,
it wouldn't be the capital city because that would be Nevada State, most likely. So let's go with Reno.
Not Reno.
That's where it is. How about Sparks?
Not Sparks.
Winnemucca.
No longer there.
The city's no longer there.
Good guess. Yeah. You're on the right interstate.
But the city's gone.
The city's still there.
Oh, the university's gone. Okay, it moved.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. We don't know.
Oh, it's Elko.
Nice.
Okay.
Wonderful Elko, Nevada. Yeah. All right, thanks a lot. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
So I have some Sinclair Lewis. No one's calling in on that, so I have a couple guesses
all right,
on that.
Go ahead.
Is Guy Kibbe Babbitt?
He is Babbitt, yes. Or he was Babbitt.
Our audience helped on that. And is Spencer Tracy Aerosmith?
No.
Is Ronald Coleman Aerosmith?
Ronald Coleman is Aerosmith. Right. Yes.
I wasn't positive. Aerosmith was a
British
person.
Actor playing a Midwestern
of course.
Young doctor.
So we have Irene Dunne. I can't think of a...
And Spencer Tracy.
And Spencer Tracy. Okay. Come on, audience.
And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right. I was going to say the pancreas for Raymond.
It's a good guess.
Mm.
And then you got One Direction. I was going to suggest earlier the new Christy Minstrels.
No. Who would that be?
Kim Carnes, Kenny Rogers, and That's Where It Falls Short.
Oh.
Didn't Barry Maguire?
Yes, Barry Maguire was also a...
So, and he had a... Yeah, but it's not that, huh?
It's not that.
I didn't know Kim Carnes was a new Christy Minstrel.
I actually saw the new Christy Minstrels when I was a kid.
How'd that go for you?
I don't know. It's all right. It wasn't my choice to go.
I don't think I knew Kenny Rogers was a minstrel either.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. How about Heaven Can Wait as one of the movies that was nominated twice?
No, because the story is different on each of those. It's a same title, but different stories.
Different enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same premise in all of them, right?
No. Different premise.
Really? It's not an angel comes down and Warren Beatty plays him and Claude Rains
no,
plays him?
No, Heaven Can Wait is the first is the Lubitsch film from 43, Don Ameche, and then the other one is the remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
That's it.
Right.
That's
with Warren
thinking.
Beatty.
All right, but the song that begins with the letter U.
Yeah.
How about Unforgettable?
That's it. There's two versions.
That's what you are.
Nat King Cole and the Dinah
Nat
Washington.
Nat King Cole with Natalie Cole.
Right. Yeah, and then a Dinah Washington version. Good.
Right.
There's
good.
One more U song out there. You got it. Probably the most famous of them all.
Ooh. Okay, and I think that's it. We're done.
All right, thanks, Marky.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. This is Ron in San Francisco.
Hi, Ron.
For the remade movies, how about Imitation of Life?
That's a very good guess, but no.
Okay. How about Cleopatra?
That is right.
Whoa.
Cleopatra, okay. 1934 and 1963.
Very cool. Good.
And then for the, are you still looking for more songs with starting with you?
I am looking for one more.
Up on the Roof?
Didn't make it, shockingly.
Under My Thumb?
Also didn't make it.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you.
Two songs, really good songs that should be in there.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Eileen in San Jose.
Hi, Eileen.
Well, some of mine were shot down while I was waiting, like Under My Thumb.
Yeah.
And I guess you got all those movies because I was thinking Sabrina.
No, not Sabrina.
We're missing two of them, right?
Two of them, yeah, still.
Oh, you are. Okay, and I have a question. You can probably answer this easily.
Mm-hmm.
The four states whose capitals start with the same letter as the name of the state.
Dover, Delaware.
Minneapolis. No, I'm sorry.
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Honolulu, Hawaii. Honolulu,
yep.
Hawaii. Yes. What's the other one? I always forget.
I think someone started to say the other one.
Oh, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's it.
Those are the four.
All right.
Thank you very much. I love your show.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. We should clean up here. Kira, what do you got?
Real quick. Is it The Stranger, 1984, Under the Volcano, Intruder in the Dust, Brideshead Revisited?
No.
Okay. In that case, the three first ladies of the United States who've died in office, the third one was Caroline Harrison, and her daughter took over her duties. Letitia Tyler's daughter-in-law, Priscilla Cooper, is the person who took over.
Okay.
That's a good gig. Is that it?
I think so.
Robert Duvall and Clint Eastwood were in Where Eagles Dare, Not the Eagle Has Landed, and and the U song that we're missing are the Righteous Brothers singing Unchained Melody in 1965. That was the big
one. We're getting static on my headphones here. It's all right. They're not paying any attention
really?
At all. Really.
They've let us go.
Right,
we're going on for another hour.
Yeah.
We're taking a victory lap. And thank you, audience, for not calling in with the Super Bowl score.
Was that it?
That's it.
Yep. Okay. All right, let's see. The only four sets of films with the same story and title that were nominated for Best Picture, we got Cleopatra, Romeo and Juliet, Les Miserables, 1935, 2012, Mutiny on the Bounty, 1935 and 1962. Mm-hmm. Sinclair Lewis title characters, the movie versions. Spencer Tracy played the title character in Cass Timberlane, 1947. Irene Dunne, this is the Lewis book that he based on Dorothy Thompson, his wife, Ann Vickers, 1933. And let's see, these are the novels in order, from the oldest to the newest. The Stranger, 1942. Brideshead Revisited, 1945. That's actually later one, not earlier. Under the Volcano, 47. Intruder in the Dust, 48. 1984, 1949. So, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. My thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dan Rodriguez. Our thanks to Steve Wilcott and David Latuli for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And hope you have a great week, and we also hope you'll join us here next Sunday at 7. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
If you
you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't